Let's go.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast, voted biggest and best in 2020 by Apple Podcasts. We all have our plaque up on our wall, which is very nice.
I have it right beside my TV.
Yep, and we just want to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca, a First Owners Nation online casino and sportsbook tailored to Canadians, which means you can use Canadian money, which is a big plus. Sign up now, enter promo GRAPES, and they'll match your deposit up to $500. You get 15 wins on a big wheel for some big dough, and they spot you $25 on the first sports bet. And I have to say, Dad, I'm a little bit tired this morning because I stayed up and watched the UFC, and you don't watch that stuff.
I cannot. Well, I don't know why I can't watch it. I remember the guy with Bounty Hunter. What's his name? Dwayne something?
Dwayne Chapman, Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I remember he went with Beth, his wife, who since passed away. She was, and she had bought tickets for his birthday. And he says, he sat down and he says, I can't watch this.
And you would think that he would enjoy watching it.
Well, he came out of prison for murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Come to think of it.
He was a tough guy, for sure.
And he says, I can't watch this. And she says, well, I paid big money for these tickets. He says, well, I don't care. He says, I can't watch it. And he got up and left her in the building. And he went out to the parking lot, and I remember smoking. And they said, well, why can't you watch it? He says, I can't watch it. He says, I forget what he said. It's too much. It's like street fighting. And it's worse than street fighting. I mean, street fighting, they have a little honor. But tell us about I didn't watch it.
But you've been in a lot of fights. So it's because you know the violence of the injuries that the people could get, or?
I don't know what it is, but I can't watch it anyhow.
It was pretty gruesome last night. You wouldn't have lasted the first two rounds.
What happened? All right, tell us what happened.
Well, the first fight in the pay-per-view card, the guy, you know how they do leg kicks. The one guy got kicked in the back of his leg, and his leg fell asleep, and he couldn't walk. And
what,
he wrestled.
Hit a nerve, eh?
Yeah, hit a nerve. So he wrestled the guy, and so he's in. He at the end of the first round, he kind of semi crawls back to his ring, and he's banging his leg trying to get the feeling back. And he was ready to go, but the doctor said no. And then the next one, oh my goodness. The guy threw a kick and his leg just shattered. It was.
I don't want to hear about it. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, but that's what people go for those fights for, is to see all that. You buy your ticket, that's what they go. Didn't I equate it, Dad, to race car? Why people go see NASCAR and race cars? They go to see.
They go to see the intricate of the. Yeah.
Yeah, the skill of the drivers. I think not.
Everybody wants to sit in the curve.
Yeah. You know? Exactly. Yeah.
So there was. That, and then the two women were knockouts, and then, boy, the last one got knocked out.
But the women are tougher than the men.
Yeah, and, boy, the poor Chinese girl, she just wasn't ready. She wasn't focused and just got zonked and got knocked out.
So let me ask you, have they evolved? Do they still have the good-looking women in bikinis
I don't think they do it with the women.
No.
I don't think they have. Well, they only went one round, so they didn't have the second round card girl didn't get in the ring.
So let
much.
Me ask you, Dad, have you ever been in? You've been in lots of fights in rinks and stuff. Have you ever been in a fight outside of a rink?
No, I never have. I don't know. I we talked about it before, but no, I never have. I don't know what it was, but I never did, and I'm glad I didn't. But I don't watch that fight.
But you watch boxing.
I watch boxing.
So what's the difference?
Marcus of Queensbury.
I'm confused. What's the difference?
Well, the difference, they don't kick. They don't hit when you're down. And I'm not knocking them. If people,
no, you're
I
not.
Just don't,
enjoy
I just
it.
Don't watch it. I don't enjoy it. So I don't watch it.
Well,
Timothy.
I got to tell you, I don't think that'll probably be my last pay-per-view. Watching the guy break his leg like that, and I'm thinking, I was watching a Netflix documentary on the fall of the Roman Empire, and they were talking how this guy Claudius, he was the beginning of the end, and what he did was he kept putting these gladiator games on, and I'm looking and I'm going, this isn't that far from the gladiators. It really isn't. See the guy break his leg and the girl got
they're
kicked.
They're tough guys. They're tough guys though.
Yeah.
And they talk, and they're all good looking. You ever notice?
They're all polite and they all speak well.
And they're very, very nice. And
you consider them athletes?
Oh.
Yeah.
Do I consider them? I guess so. And they're in tip-top shape. Yeah. You better be in shape in that.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm going to do that again. It was a little much seeing that guy break his leg. And people don't remember Joe Theismann breaking his leg. It was worse than that.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Well, I don't want to talk about it anymore. All right. I often wonder when I read the paper and I listen to the people on television whether Babcock is ever mentioned when Hyman, because I remember when Hyman, he played Hyman on the top line. Why are they playing Hyman? Why are they playing that Hyman? He's just a, and remember he used to block shots all the time. And I don't think he blocked shots like he used to. But all he was at the one time was just a guy that blocked shots and up and down and all of a sudden he turned into a really good hockey player. And I never hear Babcock's name mentioned. And never, you know, everything he did wrong, you mentioned. But he never, and he stuck with Hyman. I would never forget that. And
yeah, he liked Hyman and played him Hyman a lot now. And he's so good that they don't know if the Leafs are going to be able to sign him next year because he's going to make so much money. But again, it was weird that they played Hyman, loved Hyman, and Nazem Kadri they just dumped on from day one.
Yeah. Now let's talk about Calgary. Now over the weekend I watched Tim. You watched them too. If they win that, I shouldn't say it, but it's going to be close between Canadians and Calgary, and Sutter's finally coming through. Well, the goal, Markstrom's playing like he did for Vancouver the year before. A goaltender, it's funny thing is, I'm watching, I read the television, I read the paper and everything like that. And last week or the week before, I forget what it was, and so important, the goaltender, as I know, I could go through that again, outshot the other team, and they won, and they were outshot, and they won it every game. And if you don't have a goaltender, you've got nothing. So it's the old story, show me a good goalie, and I'll show you a good coach.
Dad, when you were playing in the minors,
you have to say the minor? Why don't you just say when I was playing?
Okay, when you were playing,
yeah,
you were considered a black ace. Now, what does that exactly mean?
Yes,
there's been some controversy in what exactly that means.
Yeah, they call them the taxi squad now.
Taxi squad.
Taxi squad.
Is that the
and there's a reason. What was it, Tim? You told me the story.
Well, it's a football term. And
yeah.
American. Right. In the 40s, the Cleveland Browns, the coach, Paul Brown, he wanted to keep extra players on the roster, and they weren't allowed to. Like, he only had so many. So the guys that he wanted to practice and keep on the roster, the owner of the club, a guy named Arthur McBride, he owned a taxi cab company. So he paid them through the taxi cab company. So to get around the rule, because you can only have so many players on your roster that are being paid by the team.
Yeah.
So that's what they call them, the taxi squad.
Well, everything's American.
Yeah. So how do they get the name Black Aces? Because I was reading an article a little while ago. It was a Pittsburgh reporter, and she said the reason it was Black Aces was because Black Aces are bad. Like, a dead man's hand is two Black Aces, two Black Eights, and a 10. Well, Bill Hickok, that's what he got shot with.
Well, but it doesn't go back that far. It goes back to Eddie Shore.
Right.
Eddie Shore had Black Aces. Eddie had three teams, one playing, one suspended, and one going to be suspended. I was suspended all the time. But no, it was Black Aces. We had all because we had black sweaters. And you didn't have to wash them. It's an awful thing to say, but we all had black sweaters. I would say we had about eight or nine guys, and that's how it was.
So were you guys like...
I don't know why. Now, why wouldn't they be called Black Aces? Why? Never mind. We'll go to that.
So, like, were you guys, like, in trouble or benched? Or, like,
I could go into Eddie Shore, things that Eddie Shore did. If a guy had a bonus for 20 goals, he'd bench him at 19. He wasn't behind the bench. He was sitting behind the bench way up. But he had coaches that would do as they were told. Pat Egan was one of them. And a guy had 19 goals, he wouldn't play.
Tell us a story about you hitting Pat Egan, and that's why you got off the team, wasn't it? Because of a little incident.
Do I hear that story? Okay.
Yeah, a little incident with Pat Egan.
With the Black Aces, I guess it goes.
Yes.
Brian Kilray, one of the best American League players, was a Black Ace. He did something wrong. Anyhow, I could tell a story. Someday I must tell the stories of what he does. So we were playing, and we scrimmaged a lot.
So this was after the practice with the Black Aces.
I don't know what it was, to tell you the truth. I think the other guys didn't practice. It must have been them after. I forget anyhow. So Pat Egan did not like me. Imagine a coach not liking me. Yeah. And they call him. He was built like a gorilla. He wasn't too tall, but he was. And he was an all-star in the National Hockey League, but he was coaching us. And I remember he had a black and red and white jacket, beautiful leather jacket on. And he didn't have the equipment on, but he used to scrimmage with us anyhow. And he didn't like me, and I didn't like him. And I can still see it now. He's going behind the net, and we'd been kind of dueling a little bit before, but nothing serious. So I knew that he knew that I was going to run at him, but he didn't know that at the last minute, he used to jump and hurt you. Like he was one of those guys.
He knew it was coming.
He knew it was coming.
But he didn't know that you knew it was coming.
I knew that he knew or something like that.
Yeah.
So I remember it was at the blue line. He went behind the net and he's coming up and I knew he was going to jump. And sure enough, but I was ready for him. And I broke my stick over him, cross-checked him. There were splinters flying all over the place. And he went down. I got him right in the shoulder, and I went down. And I have to admit, he got up. He was a tough guy. And it goes on and on. And the next day, I can still see him now. He came out of his little dressing room he used to have. And he used to wear flip-flops, you know, those flip-flops. And he had on a white kimono or something, you know, like
bathrobe.
After a shower, bathrobe, yeah. And he came up and he says, "Hey, Mr. Cherry, this is something for you. I think you'll enjoy." It was a letter from Shore, and he got to Shore about him. I was on my way to Three Rivers, Quebec, and I don't like the movie or anything like that, but I never got mad. Because if you get mad, it shows, you know, that you're mad. I just threw it up above. But I knew everybody in the and all the guys knew the letter. When you get a letter.
This was around Christmas time, wasn't it?
Yeah. I must tell that story sometime. Anyhow, that's a Black Ace. That was the story of the Black Aces.
Didn't the one time he made you skate forever?
One time Dwayne Rupp and I don't know what Dwayne did, but I know what I did. I asked him after. We skated for 4 hours and 20 minutes around and around and
four
around.
4 hours.
4 hours.
Just skating
the guys
around.
Were bringing us tea because.
They felt so bad for
yeah,
you.
And he turned out the lights, or he didn't turn them right out, but he.
Because he owned the rink too, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah. Well, he didn't own the rink, but he paid the electricity. And we went around and around for 20 minutes. 4 hours and 20 minutes. And And you know what hurts? You think your feet would hurt, your legs would hurt. It doesn't. It's your back. Back hurts. Like, you know.
And what did you do to deserve that?
I don't know what I did. I didn't, at the time, I had no idea what I did. And so I found out later what I did. When he was talking to me, there was a big clock at the back. I wasn't being a smart guy. I was just looking at and I just happened to glance at the clock. That's why I went four hours and 20 minutes. And someday I'll go on to tell a whole story about Shore, but it was a tough.
I like the one story you told me some guy was laughing at you on the
ice.
Oh,
I know if this is hard to believe. One guy, New York Rangers, were practicing after us, believe it. And they were sitting us down, and we were walking like ducks, honest to God. Not awful. I mean, you think about it.
You were walking or you were skating?
We had our skates on. We were walking like ducks. He said it was good for our skating. And he was laughing. And I happened to be near Pat Egan and Eddie Shore. And And he says, and I can hear him, who is that young gentleman laughing up there? And he says, it's Jim Bartlett. We call him Jimmy. And very interesting. And he got him. I don't know how he got him, but he got him. I mean, getting to shore is like going to a Devil's Island.
Oh, he got him like on the team.
Yeah, on our team.
And as he punishment.
played terrific during the season. And he'd get a contract next year. He really played terrific. And it came to the playoffs, benched him. Didn't play at all. And never forgot that. And, you know, Bert, and he was a good player. We didn't need him. We won four straight. But we didn't need him. And, boy, you never laughed at him. And I think of the stuff that we went through because we wanted to play hockey. I was 22 years old, and Boston led Floyd Smith and I. It was a guy named Floyd Smith. And sent
married us to, a Hershey lady.
Yeah.
Mom's good friend.
God, and we went to... Yeah, Audrey Dunn. Good.
Audrey went there.
And we went to Eddie Shore. Geez, I, you know, it's like going to Devil's Island. But you know,
you remember all that. In the sense of when you were coach, you remembered how badly you were treated. And I can remember, like you would always look to see if any player of yours would have a bonus coming up that needed extra goals for a bonus. And you would even, the players would even tell you, right? Like so-and-so.
Yeah, well, Bobby Schmatz was usually the guy that
would tell.
Yeah.
So-and-so
or one of the other guys.
Yeah.
But usually it was Bobby Schmatz.
And there again, that had to not go over well with management that you were trying to get the guys their bonuses.
Well, I remember one time in Boston. Yeah, it was in Boston. And Bobby Schmatz had we seem to be talking a lot about Bobby Schmatz, but there was one time, I should tell you a story about Ricky Middleton when he had it. So, first of all, I'll tell you Bobby Schmatz. So I played him power play, everything. I tried to get him that 20.
And so he was going for his 20th goal.
Yeah. I don't know, one of the goals he had.
He would get a bonus.
He got a bonus. I don't know if it was 20, but it was 23 or something. And so there was 7 seconds left. And I says, get out there. He's what's the sense? You know, and I says, get out there. And it was a face-off, and it was in their end, and it was on the right to the left of the goalie, of their goalie. It was in that corner. And John Rattel was great at getting the draws back. And he was a left-hand shot. Schmatzy was on the circle. Bing, bang, with 3 seconds left, he got the bonus. And, you know, everybody's happy.
Except for management and the
owners. Yeah, Harry knew. Harry was a good guy that way. He gave the bonus. But he did not want, I shouldn't say this, but I said, I don't think he wanted Ricky Middleton to get it. I shouldn't say that. Maybe he did. But we had Ricky Middleton, and he had a bonus for how many goals. And we were in the Toronto Maple Leaf Gardens. Now, I said, look, we're going to try to get Ricky his bonus. I said, now don't jump on the ice like fools.
Yeah, because
to celebrate.
Because back then, like when there was a big goal, the teams would jump on the ice.
Yeah, I said, don't jump on the ice and like fools and go crazy over it. There's nothing if we beat Toronto. Sure enough, he gets it. And they all jumped on the ice, and they did it just to bug me. And,
so all the fans are looking. It was like 5-1.
It's 5-1. He got the fifth goal. And we won the Stanley Cup. So now I said, shut up. Harry's coming in the dressing room. Remember, it was around the corner. I said, when he comes in the dressing room, don't be happy.
Don't rub it in his face.
Don't. So Ricky Middleton looked like that guy on...
Eddie Munster. That was
Eddie Munster, yeah. Yeah, what? And he was pale and white, and he had a round face, and he looked like, what was the guy's name?
Eddie Munster.
Oh, Eddie Munster, yeah. Eddie Munster. So, and they used to call him Eddie.
Yeah, everybody says, his nickname was Nifty. No, it was Eddie, Eddie Munster.
Isn't that nice?
So now, as Harry comes in the room, I'll never forget it, Eddie. I could have punched them, but I know they were.
And you'd even start guys too if you were in their hometown, right?
Well, I remember a guy named Sturgeon, Peter Sturgeon. And
wasn't he the first coach of the Ice Dogs?
Well, we went. And And I used to play, and everybody loved Hockey Night in Canada. I mean, you know, you're from Canada. And he come from around here. And I think I had 44 guys that, and I had to pay him on defense for the first shift. And I remember looking out, and he had tears running down his eyes because, you know, Toronto Maple Leaf Gardens.
Yeah, Hockey you're on
Night
TV.
In Canada.
Yeah. You're on TV. Time.
And
because remember back when, and like this would have been the 70s, there would have been one game a week.
Oh,
that was it. That was it. So there wasn't like, you know, 15
right across
games.
Canada. Everyone
and it
watching.
Was a big deal. And that, it was like the Hockey Night in Canada used to be that way until they, then they, you know, they had, and we won't go into that. But anyhow, they, yeah, I used to be with the
you
player.
Worked at it because you remembered how you got treated.
Well, I remember. I just can't believe how some of the players got treated, and I remembered all that. I remember one guy. We had a great big guy, a beautiful Irish guy, great big guy, and what he was going to do to Wilf Paymont.
So he was, you were coaching the Bruins.
I was coaching the Bruins, and we got him, and he was a big Irish guy too, and he kept saying what he was going to do to Wilf Paymont. Jeez, Wilf Paymont. And nobody did anything to Wilf Paymont. I mean, you didn't fool around with Wilf Paymont.
Because you had him in Colorado, didn't
you? Well, he didn't look for trouble. Yeah. No, I didn't. I knew him after. He didn't look for trouble, but if you were looking for trouble, Wilf was there. He had that wingy look in his eye. So, this guy's pretty good. He's going to. So, he didn't do anything. We put him on. Every time I put him on, he's going to do something. He did nothing. So, he's having a shower with the guys, and he had a beard. And there was, well, Don, he said, I know you don't like beards. I'll shave my beard off tomorrow. I says, keep your beard on. And all the players.
Well, I remember I called you up because I was upset when Spezza got traded to the Leafs and he didn't get started with the Gardens. And you, because remember when Jason Spezza came to the Leafs a couple years ago?
By the
ago?
Way, talking to us, can I get jump in? You tell that story. He did a great thing with...
I was going to use that as a segue, Dad. That's what they call it, segue.
Oh, Subway? Is that what they call it?
Segway. I was going to bring Jason up saying that I was upset with the coach, Babcock. You think he's a great guy. That he didn't start Jason Spezza for his first game back.
Oh, that's right,
remember
too.
That?
Babcock,
and I called you up that Saturday. Are you going to mention that Babcock didn't start? That Babcock didn't start, you know,
did
Jason?
I,
and he goes, I'm not going to talk. It was the following week. And but Ron brought it up. He goes, what do you think of Babcock not starting Jason?
What did I say?
I think he said, I guess he doesn't like him for some reason. And that was the end of it. And that's all you said.
Well,
so.
The only thing is, when you do that to a guy like Babcock or myself or a good coach, now he won't start Spezza. You know what I mean?
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. I wasn't afraid. I knew.
Oh, you didn't want to get Jason even more hot water.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I don't know why he didn't start.
Because he's mean.
Personally, I think that he didn't probably. I don't think he wanted him. And
well, Babcock was a funny guy. He didn't fool. Remember over in the Olympics?
Yeah.
I remember we had Subban was the best defense. Was picked the best defenseman that year. And who was the other guy?
Martin St. Louis. Won the scoring championship.
And he says, I don't want him.
To the Olympics. We're not bringing the best defenseman in the number. Forget it.
Isn't that nice?
He says, I don't want them. He says, he picked guys that, you know, he didn't want them. And they says, well, how can we not have the best defenseman and the best goal scorer?
You'd wonder.
And, you'd wonder. He says, well, I don't care. Send them over. I won't play them. And they come over, and I happened to be at, I was at all the practices, most of the practices. And I was there the day he told them that they weren't playing. And
did they get dressed, or they
didn't? No, they were on the ice. It was practice the day before, and he and Babcock went up, St. Louis went right off the ice, like he went off, and not Subban though. He stayed on the ice. I guess he just figured.
So getting back to Jason, you were going to say something nice because he is a good guy.
Oh yes, now let's talk about what he did. You know all the particulars, Tim, better than I do, but I know he's going to give money to the American Hockey Leaguers That's good enough for him. Or he wanted to, the rest of the guys.
Yeah, they all pitched.
Tell us the story. Tell us the story.
So what happened was that in the American Hockey League, because a lot of the rinks were empty, and they kept going, that the players were only going to get, if you're on a one-way contract, you were only going to get 48% of your contract. So if you're on a one-way contract, it's not that much, right? Like if you're on there. And so
I should know.
So they were only going to get, like, they were getting less than half their contract. And
the government would take the...
Yeah, so figure what they're going to, how much they're going to make. And Jason kind of spearheaded that all the Leafs pitched in and gave some money to give to the Toronto Marlies, which is their American Hockey League.
You think the rest of the league would do that, you know, help the American...
So when you say the Players Association, it only deals with the NHL players? It doesn't help out the minor AHL and all that?
Well,
No.
There's an AHL Players Association.
Pardon me?
There's an American Hockey League Players Association.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But they don't have as much.
So let me ask you, Dad, you were in the American Hockey League. When you were playing back in the 50s, would the NHLers help you guys out like that?
Are you kidding? They didn't even, how would I don't know how to say this, but I could go on.
In a nice way?
Yeah, in a nice way. They didn't know we existed, or they didn't care.
But the unique thing about you, Dad, is you saw a lot of players when they were in the American League go up and then they came down. So you saw the whole trip of a lot of guys coming up and around.
And you know, I still thought as a minor league player, I know I don't want to go into this, but I said the very first time I had anything to do with the National Hockey League, because I was in the American Hockey League the whole time. Like I went from playing in the American Hockey League, coaching in the Hockey League, and Harry and I was coach of the year in the American Hockey League. Harry hired me right out of the American. I was an American leaguer. I wasn't a National leaguer. I hardly saw a game. And I remember the first night. I don't know whether I talked about it. Did I talk about the golf court?
Yeah, you were saying there was a big party with lobster and $100 bottles of wine and champagne.
I remember Harry saying that this had been going on, this party had been going, well, it wasn't a party, it was like a get-together.
It was the night before the first day of the
training. Day before
the first training.
And then they had a dinner that night. So the very first time I sat down and I watched them all day golf. I didn't golf at all. And so I'm watching and... you know, I can't believe that. And the girls are walking around with the drinks
champagne and wine and
I come from the American Hockey League where it was
$4 a day per diem.
Yeah, $4 a day. And here are these guys with drinks and everything like that. And I'm looking. I can't shake my head. I just can't believe it. So I'm sitting beside Harry. I said, I remember what I was wearing. I was wearing a nice, and I phoned Rose. I said, Rose, I can't believe what's going on here. I said, guys are drinking, guys are drunk. I mean, I don't mind guys getting a glow, but guys are, and they've been doing. You told me one time what Rose said about me.
Yeah.
What'd she say?
She says, "Quit being an American leaguer."
Quit being an American leaguer. I would. That was done, and I remember.
Well, I think we should get into the thing though, Dad. Like we were talking a little bit, like. We were talking how Buffalo's having a tough time right now. And then how when you went into Boston, you changed the culture. And don't have enough time, but I think maybe next week or a week after we'll talk about
it. It's funny you say that, and I hate to interrupt, or I forget it, that Taylor Hall, I saw a speech, and he said they have a different culture in Boston, and they kept that culture. Someday we'll go into that.
That you walked into Boston, they had won the Stanley Cup, then they went to the finals, and you come walking in there, which put you like...
And I was a minor, and they knew I was an American leaguer.
And then you went in within 2 years, changed pretty much everything. So, but we'll get into that. But that was a good thing. But you were saying in the American League when you were... you said that the NHLers would ignore you and all that, but there was a couple of guys that were nice to you.
They were all... Oh, Terry Sawchuk. Terry Sawchuk was one. You know, I read the books, and I read his book, or read a book about him. But he was a mean guy and sulky, and he wasn't to the minor leaguers. He'd say hello, and as we leave, I'll tell you one story, And I don't know if I've told it before, but it meant a lot to me. I was in Three Rivers, Quebec. You don't go any lower in Three Rivers, Quebec. And it was a good league, EPHL. That was a good league. Someday I'll tell you. So we were walking along the street in Montreal, a big wide street. I'll never forget it. And he was walking with both three or four other Leafs. And he was walking this way. And I was walking with the guys from, I don't know where we're coming from, a steak or something. And I was walking with the guys from Three Rivers. And he didn't know me. He knew my face. He'd seen time before. I said, you know, I was really embarrassed. I waved. What if he doesn't wave back? And by golly, he said, "Hi, how you doing? How's everything going?" Like that. And I remember the guy said, "Geez, you know Terry Tkachuk? You know the guy?" Sure, Terry Tkachuk is a good name of mine. So don't anybody ever say anything about Terry Tkachuk to me. Terry Tkachuk.
Would you say he was the best goalie you've seen?
He's the best goaltender. Maybe I'm. And if you talk about the old guys, when you watch him play, he was one of those guys that used to get down on the crouch all the time. And I'm glad he wore a mask because he got cut up pretty good. But, boy, he could stop a puck. And I remember Bobby Hull let a shot go. And, boy, he had a big curve on a stick and hit him on his shoulder. And he's laying there on the ice. And Bobby Hull was supposed to, "Yeah, you better stay down, Terry. There's more coming at you." And he got up and won the Stanley Cup. There was nobody like Terry Tkachuk to me. He was a great guy.
It was amazing, too, looking like the lack of equipment that they had back then. It was like they were wearing windbreakers. I mean, like, it was nothing.
Well, and the shots that used to come his way, Makita could shoot it, too. But Hull could. They had that big banana curve, boy. And could that? And they didn't know where it was going. They just fired it on net and hit him, boy. It was nobody like as there was no goaltender I ever saw better than Terry Tkachuk.